Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to you on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com or text us please at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
A new international survey ranks Zimbabweans as some of the poorest in the world and urges Harare to stop pursuing its indigenization policy, saying this will further erode the country's economy.
As I have indicated to you, if yesterday you had only 4,000 farmers and now you have close to 360,000 farmers, surely there is no other way of explaining how the indigenization policy has been brought back.
The Tsvangirai MDC formation says it is supporting the call by the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe for teachers to down tools next week if the government fails to offer civil servants a meaningful salary increment.
The MDC wants the conditions of service of workers to be improved. We have noticed that over the past 3 months, the workers did not get their money on time, they did not get their bonuses on time, despite the promises from the government. We must force the government to honor its promises, honor its pledges, especially if those pledges come from the highest offices of the land.
And poverty drives more Mutare residents into urban farming.
A survey by consultancy research firm New World Wealth is warning Zimbabwe against pursuing its controversial indigenization policy, which it says will sink the Southern African country deep into poverty. In the New World Wealth report, Zimbabweans are among the poorest people in Africa, with wealth per person standing at $570. But the country is doing slightly better than Tanzania, Mozambique, Uganda, and Ethiopia. South Africa's wealth per person is $11,310. Other countries doing well are Namibia and Botswana. In 2000, Zimbabwe was ranked among the wealthiest African countries. New World Wealth senior economist Andrewa Amoyles says, should Zimbabwe continue to implement its indigenization program, wealth will erode more. But Indigenization Minister Francis Nema tells our Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the program has and continues to empower ordinary Zimbabweans.
We have had more people now on land and producing more than we used to do. And that, to my knowledge, would mean some kind of improvement in their living conditions. We have had farm laborers who have taken on the land who are now masters of their own, who are now producing for their own families, who can now send their kids to school and have a comfortable life, which they never had. So I would rather differ on that opinion and say, as opposed to the 4,000 farmers we used to have, we now have about 360,000 farmers, based on a fewer acreage, but they have been able to produce for their livelihood. I think one has to realize that Zimbabwe is an agricultural country, and therefore most of our produce for work is in that direction. Yes, we can acknowledge we have had few years of drought, but if the rains that have fallen are anything to go by, you realize that that position will soon change, and hopefully most of those families will have a better standard of living.
But Mr. Nema, your critics are saying this indigenization program has benefited only a few elites at the expense of the majority.
Not at all. As I have indicated to you, if yesterday you had only 4,000 farmers and now you have close to 360,000 farmers, surely there is no other way of explaining how the indigenization policy has been brought back. You might argue when it comes to a few industries here and there, but there were not so many industries. When you look at companies that are subject to indigenization, there are no more than 2,000. And again, if another 4,000, 5,000 people benefit, that's about it. But in terms of land, it has been a broad-based economic empowerment in business.
That was Indigenization Minister Francis Nema speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu in Harare.